understands that there are things that happen in my life, in your life, that we have to have a supernatural intervention to take place. If not, we will succumb to the oppression, or we will succumb to the issue that's trying to defeat us or oppress us. And if you've got your smart device or your Bible, Psalms 91, we're going to start in chapter 91. We're going to read verse 1 through 16. These lights are pretty dull up here. David is writing this, and he says this in the scripture: "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress." What is he? He's my refuge and my fortress. He is the one I can turn to when times get tough, and he's also my shield and my bulwark. He's my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he has delivered you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence, and he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you and I can seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Verse 5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by the day. How many here have ever been afraid of the dark? Okay, you guys, you can't lie in church. How many have been afraid of the dark? Yeah, we all have. In fact, last night I heard something go thump, and I knew Renee was asleep, so what is that? Is there somebody in the house? So what did I do? I did what any husband would do. I said, honey, would you get up and see what's... No. No, I got up and looked around. Why? Because it was dark, and there could something could be happening. You'll not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrows that fly by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. What a promise. No matter what's happening on the news, no matter what's going on in the world, because I have a God who can deliver me and protect me, it doesn't matter what's happening in the world, my God will protect me, even though everything looks bad and bleak and the horrors of this world seem to be crowding in, God will deliver. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. How many of you know that God sends angelic beings to guard you? How many of you know that? In fact, I believe personally that you have a personal angel that God has assigned to you. That's why you're still alive today. How many here have ever gone in a situation and you were going to change lanes in the car and there was a car right next to you, you didn't see it, and something stopped you from changing it? Or you were about to cross the road, you didn't see something, and boom, a car came through. There was an angelic being that was there protecting you, whether you liked it or not. He's there. God sends his angels to protect his people who trust him and look to him as their deliverer. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lions and the scorpions, the young lions and the serpents you will trample down, the Lord says. Because you have loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high. I will set him securely on high. I will secure my people, says the Lord. He will call upon me, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will rescue him. I will deliver him and honor him with long life and satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Wow, what a great promise. David wrote that. And David, who was the king of Israel, David, who had many problems and many victories, was a man who went into depression and also came out victoriously because he understood that he served a great deliverer named God. Jehovah, Elohim, the God who delivers, the God who comes and manifests himself. And I can tell you what, see, it's not just a story, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just a book that we're reading some nice words and hoping they're true. This can be reality for you and I. We need deliverance. We don't need just deliverance from harmful things. We need deliverance from fear. We need deliverance from the onslaught of terror and evil. We need deliverance from guilt and shame, which we're going to be talking about. There are four essential areas I want to talk to you here the next few moments we have together about areas you and I need to have guilt in. So I want you to take your pen out or take your tablet out and write these down. Number one, the first thing we need deliverance in is deliverance from guilt and shame. You and I need deliverance from guilt and shame. Number two, we need deliverance from the power of evil and sudden temptation. And I'll delineate these things and talk more about them. Number three, we need deliverance from depression and loneliness. You wouldn't think that because everyone's hooked up, everyone's online, everyone's got a platform, everyone's got a voice, everyone's got something to tweet or something to text. You wouldn't think we were lonely, yet we are the most lonely, desperately lonesome people, depressed people on the face of the planet with all the technology. What's the problem? We need deliverance from it. We also need deliverance from difficult situations. But sometimes the deliverance is not to get out of the situation. The deliverance is to get you through the situation. Sometimes, listen, God allows things in our lives so we can trust him and we can go through the difficulty. And he's our deliverer. We're not our deliverer. He's our savior. We don't save ourselves by our own cunning, our own ingenuity. So let's talk about the first one, the need for deliverance from guilt and shame. You know, it's amazing. When, before you come to God, I remember when I got saved. Before I came to God, you know, the enemy was talking to me. I was going to a little chapel meeting on the campus. There was 80 people there, maybe. And most of them were students like it is in here today. And I remember the guy was preaching, and I was so convicted. And I was having a conversation with myself. How many of you have ever done that before where you're kind of talking to yourself and someone's preaching and you're saying, yeah, but. I had a yeah, but side. And the guy was preaching, you need to repent, you get right. Yeah, but you did this and you got baptized when you were 13 and you gave money to that person and you didn't look at that pornographic thing like these other guys were doing. And the yeah, buts were trying to validate my own self-righteousness. And then I was just so convicted by the guy who was preaching, I went forward, got saved, gave my heart to God. Then when I really repented and got water baptized like we saw today, got filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when the guilt and shame came. Then the enemy started condemning me. You can't really be a Christian. You can't do this. You did this. Remember this? And all the shame and guilt. Can I tell you something? Many people still deal with guilt and shame, even though they're walking in the righteousness and holiness of God's redemption. Amen. You need to be delivered. There's deliverance for you today. We didn't just sing about it, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to see it manifest in this room this morning. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, this is good. Let me read you Luke chapter 18, verse 19 through 14. It's on the overhead. Guilt and shame. This is a story about a guy who knew he wasn't worthy. And Jesus tells a story, a parable, and he said he told them a parable of some people who trusted in themselves and their righteousness and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple, this is Luke 18, to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other people. They're swindlers, they're unjust. They're adulterers, they're Florida Gators. You know, there are horrible people. I'm just, thank you, I'm not like them, Lord. I fast twice a week. I pay my tithe. I do all these things for you, God. I even go to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I'm getting all the kudos here. But the tax gatherer, who understood who he was, standing some distance away, even though he was not willing even to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful on me, I'm a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted by the Lord. You know, the first step of being delivered is realizing you need to be delivered. Realizing you have a need. You can't get saved unless you first know you're lost. You can't require a deliverer unless you know you are in bondage or you're in shackles or you're in chains. So here's a beautiful story of God giving mercy to someone who acknowledged his need for mercy. Someone who acknowledged his need for a deliverer. We live in a very prideful, self-sufficient culture that says you can do it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can do it. Whatever you think you can do, you can do. Can I tell you what? That is not really life. That's a good thing for psychology and a good thing for self-help, but it's not really life. The fact is, without help, you and I are miserable failures. Without God's help, without God's help in other people and bringing about situations, we are miserable people who need help. We need deliverance from shame and guilt. And I love the response in Acts chapter 13, 38. On the next slide, please. Paul is writing, he says, therefore, let it be known, brethren, that through him, Jesus, there is the forgiveness of sin which is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is free from all things from which you could not be freed through the laws of Moses. What's he saying? All the things, all the religious duties that you and I try to do to justify and get merit before God, it's washed away by the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can save you is not your church attendance. It's not your tithing record. It's not how much you pray. It's what God did for you in the beginning to redeem you from death and deliver you from sin. We are trophies of his grace. We are trophies of his grace. And without understanding that, the enemy will play on this thing with shame and guilt. Number two, we need deliverance from the power of evil and sudden temptation. Can I tell you something? I've had the opportunity to travel and live in countries all around the world. There are spiritual powers and principalities that work over geographical areas around the world. If you were to go to Los Angeles, there's a spirit operating over the city of Los Angeles, trust me. If you were to go to Atlanta, if you were to go to Brisbane, Australia, Auckland, New Zealand, Manila, Philippines, Singapore, there are spirits that operate over there. They're different. We lived in Orlando. We lived in Dallas, Texas. And when we came to Tallahassee, there's a unique spiritual principality over here. And it's a perversion, and it's lustful, and it's this onslaught of temptation that comes out of nowhere, almost like, bam. I'm married, and I've got children, and all of a sudden, the spirit of lust tries to come into my mind. You see? I don't want to do that. I've by the grace of God, I've walked free from that. What is this attack from? It's a sudden temptation. It's out of the blue, and things that I had not been tempted with before, all of a sudden these ideas come into my mind. Can I tell you what? That's not just because you got a nasty mind. It's because there's a spiritual power trying to invade your thoughts. That's why you and I have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The battleground is between your ears, sweetheart. What you think about, what you meditate on, is what you're going to do in life. What do you mean, Pastor Ken? Well, if we were to sit here and talk about breaking our fast, and I'd be talking about chocolate cake, chocolate cake, chocolate cake, guess what you're going to do? If you think about that chocolate cake soon enough, you're going to go buy one and eat it. I'm sorry I brought it up, because some of you are going to do it now. So forgive me for putting that thought in your mind. But that's how the mind works. We have to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We need deliverance from the power of evil. We need deliverance from sudden temptation. When it comes upon us, we have to take thoughts captive. But first of all, we have to realize we have an enemy. You say, well, is there a point where I get holy and I really get right and I fast and read my Bible or I won't be tempted? No, not on this side of eternity. As long as you walk in this flesh, this physical body, guess what? You're going to be tempted. That's why you have to let this flesh not be your master. It must be your slave. The problem some of you have is this flesh has been your master. eat this, do this, look at that, go out with her, go out with him. No, don't do that. That's poison. Let the Spirit of God direct you, and then let your flesh be. It makes a very good slave, but a poor master. The Spirit of God's got to lead. That's why we need deliverance from the temptation of the flesh, from the vain ideas and the vanity that this world throws at us. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober in spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Can I tell you what? The enemy is always at work. He prowls about wanting to devour young Christians, wanting to discredit Christianity as a whole. That's why we have to be alert. We have to be sober. What does sober mean? Sober means in your right mind and visually looking at what's going on, knowing, being alert, and being aware of the potential problems that are going on around you, the things that could happen. And so we have to be that way in the spiritual realm. Why? Because we need to be delivered from those occasions. Can I tell you what? Just because you're in church, just because you're praying, let me tell you what, the enemy has a big mark on you. And the more you pray, the more you tell other people about Jesus, the more you witness for God, the bigger target's on your back. And you got to know that. He would love to wipe you out. The devil would love to get, he loves to get Christians disqualified or preachers disqualified because of malpractice or a sexual misconduct. He loves it. He'd love to run you up on a flagpole and say, yeah, there's your Christianity. They're doing the same thing you're doing. They're sleeping around. They're smoking weed. They're lying on their income taxes. They're cheating. And he would love to do it. Why? Because he wants to discredit the power and the veracity of the great deliverer who can deliver you from those things. Be sober in the spirit. Be alert. The devil is real, and he's looking for people he can pick off. And you know the ones he picks off? The ones who are alone and kind of, they're lone rangers and they're doing their thing. Well, I love the Lord. I don't have to be in church. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do. Have you ever watched these nature shows where the pack of lions, what do? They get one little elk or one little antelope or one little small creature away from the herd. And once they get them away from the herd, guess what? It's all over. That's exactly what the enemy does. He's like a roaring lion. He wants to separate you from the church. He wants to separate you from these people. Why? Because he knows if he can get you thinking, he can get you slipping and going into other areas, that he can trip you up and he can bring you back into captivity. Bondage is the name of the game. That's why we need a deliverer. That's why you need to be delivered. That's why we need to be alert. Once we are delivered, we stay alert. Because why? I don't want to go back into captivity. I don't want to go back into slavery. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to all men. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide you a way of escape that you will be able to endure it and run and be delivered. What's he saying here? No matter what the devil throws your way, no matter what guilt or shame tries to come your way by way of sin or participation of sin, no temptation will overtake you. That's not common to every person. And with the temptation, God provides an exit ramp. He provides a way of escape that you and I can endure it. God's grace is with us. His deliverance is with us even when we're being tempted by the enemy. Just look for the exit ramp. Just look for the place. I've been in places, let me tell you, as a minister, as a preacher. One time I was preaching in South Africa, Johannesburg, South Africa, and I was doing a big seminar. It was on love, sex, and dating, the perils of love, sex, and dating. And it was a big multimedia seminar, and then we had 5,000 people at the conference, and there was probably 500 people who came up for the altar call. Can I tell you what? The biggest attack I got in South Africa was at the altar call, where women were seducing me, trying to say, can I meet with you later? I have a hard time saying no to men. Will you please counsel me? Can I meet you later? Can I buy your car? I said, gosh, you know what I did? I left the altar and I said, you guys pray for me. I ran out to the room where the other pastor was. I said, pray for me. And you know what I did? I talked to the pastor who brought me in. I said, here's just what happened. This lady tried to seduce me at their altar call. You talking about the devil being bold? I ran. What did I do? I ran. Why? Because I'm not stupid. Well, Pastor Ken, you're weak, you know, just these women. Are you kidding me? If David and Joseph and people can be tempted, let me tell you what, it's common to every man. But look for the exit. I ran for the exit, sweetheart. I'm so glad I didn't. Guess who I called? I called my wife back in Los Angeles, and I told her, this is what just happened to me. Thank God for you praying for me. Why? Because I know that the devil is smarter and wiser, in some ways more cunning than me. And I've got to run and look for the exit. I've got to flee from temptation. I got to flee from those things that would try to snare me. So do you. Well, I'm just going to look on here and, oh, yeah, what's this thing? And, oh, yeah, oh, well, you know, I'll look at this, you know. All of a sudden, you're at some porno site. Oh, yeah. How do you know that, Pastor Ken? Because I it's common to every man. It's common to every person. You need to have people in your life that will ask you the hard questions. What are you looking at? What are you thinking about? What's going on in your mind? Oh, no, everything's cool, man. You know, me and, you know, the Lord. You know. No, no. I don't want that jive. Tell me what's going on. You see? You need deliverance. I need deliverance. Ephesians 6 says this. It says, put on the full armor of God. When you've done everything to stand, when you have done everything to stand, stand. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation. Gird your loins in the truth. Shod your feet in the preparation of gospel peace and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the helmet of salvation and do warfare. You see, God delivered you not so you could be recaptured. He delivered you so you could be a victor and be a champion for his cause and help other people get set free. Number three, we need deliverance from depression and loneliness. Can I tell you what? Christians sometimes are the most depressed and lonely people that I've met. You know why? It's because they do the right things, but the depression is not external. There are many people around smiling with smiles on their face, but the depression is inside. Some of it's demonic. Some of it's things that happen to you. You need deliverance. You need healing, and we can help you with that. But I can tell you this. I get to travel enough, and I see enough people who go to church that are smiling on the outside, but on the inside, they're oppressed, depressed, and very, very lonely, and very, very sad. And many of them opened up to me, opened up to Renee and I. We get to pray for them. Let me tell you something. God wants to deliver you from oppression. He wants to deliver you from depression. He wants to deliver you from hopelessness. But before you can be delivered, you got to say, I'm shackled. I'm enchained. I'm enslaved. I still smile on my face, but there's not one on my heart. In fact, there's chains on my heart. I've been hurt. I'm not sure I can trust people anymore. I'm not sure I want to take a chance like that. Let me tell you something. That's exactly what the devil wants to do, keep you isolated in the cold, dark dungeon all by yourself. Guess what your best friends will be? Self-pity. What is self-pity? People who have self-pity is when people throw a party and they're the only one that show up. That's a pity party. Oh, poor me, poor me. No, you are poor, but let me tell you, you have a deliverer who can set you free. You have a deliverer that can set you free. We need deliverance from depression. Listen to David, Psalms 31. Listen to this. We're closing here. There's a difference between closing and beginning and closing. Psalms 31, 9 through 13. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. How many can relate to David? I'm in distress. My eyes are wasted away with grief, my soul and my body also. This is King David. This is David who defeated all these enemies, who was elevated to the highest rank in Israel. This was the handsome guy that everyone wanted to emulate. He says, for my life is spent in sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed me because of my iniquities, and my body has washed away because of all my adversaries. I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors. The people who used to like me don't like me. The people who used to follow me on Facebook, they've canceled me. I'm a reproach. Those who were once my acquaintances are not there anymore. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I'm forgotten as a dead man, and I'm out of mind like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life, God. Don't you see how bad my life is? Don't you see how depressed and lonely I am, God? And he was. But notice the remedy. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Be gracious to me, God, for I am in distress." Notice what Isaiah says. "I do not fear, for you are with me. Do not look anxiously about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will surely help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who will quarrel with you, but you will not find them. Those who are at war with you will be as nothing and non-existent." What a contradiction. What a total different view of life. All of a sudden, God, you're with me. Those things that look bad and look like they're my demise are going to actually be the springboard that causes me to come to health and freedom and deliverance. God, you'll deliver me. You're with me. You'll change their circumstances. The people who like me or don't like me, they're going to like me. In fact, you're going to cause them for me to have favor in their eyes. And we see the difference there. Many of you, many of us in here, we need spiritual deliverance from shame and loneliness and being like we're outcasts. God wants to give that to you and I today. In fact, I felt that this morning when we were singing those praise and worship songs, beautiful spirit of praise. God's going to deliver you in some areas that you're afraid to even talk about with anybody else. But if you'll do that, God's power of deliverance will vindicate you and he will set you free. Number four, we need deliverance from difficult situations. Anybody here ever gone through a hard time? Yeah. Some of you got two hands up. You can raise your, yeah. I'm going through one right now, Pastor Gann. You know, there's something about when the New Testament says, "Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials." How many have that as a memory verse? God bless you, Matilda. You're probably the only. No, hardly anybody memorizes that. Consider all joy when you go through trials. I don't consider it joys when I see the American Express bill. I don't get excited, you know. There's things like that don't really excite me. But he says consider all joy. Why? Because your deliverer is going to deliver you from this thing that looks oppressed or oppressing you. Consider all joy. I'm just right around the corner. I'm just going to tell you, will you trust in me or are you going to trust in your circumstances and your ability to get you out of this hole? Or are you going to trust in me to deliver you? I love it. And I love the story of Daniel. Before he went into prison, he had three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar, the great Babylonian king, had set up an edict saying, whenever I come around, I'm going to make an obelisk or an idol in the image of me. And when that image goes by that I make, that statue, everyone better bow down and worship it, or you're going to be killed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Jewish captives, they said, look, we can't do that. We serve the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're not going to bow down to your idol. And so you remember the story when the idol came by and they said, we're not going to do it. And they threatened to take him. And Nebuchadnezzar was infuriated, was going to kill him and throw him into the fiery furnace. And they said, look, even if we bow down, we can't really do it because we know that because we're not going to bow down, our God will come and deliver us. But even if he doesn't, oh Nebuchadnezzar, we're still not going to bow down and worship your idol. So they threw them, bound with ropes, into the fiery furnace and stoked the heat four times greater. And the Bible tells us that there were four men walking in the furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out. The only thing that was burned were the cords that held them in bondage. They had been delivered in the midst of the fire that the enemy intended to kill them. Sometimes the very ordeal you're going through is a thing that will bring and be your deliverance. God doesn't want to necessarily get you out of a trial. He wants to get you through a trial. So he says, oh, God, deliver me from all this stuff. Lord, just take away my professor so I don't have any. No, no, no. You're going to have to take tests, sweetheart. You're going to have to, you have exams in life. But it's not just for students. Can I tell you what? You and I have exams in life too. God's going to say, are you going to trust me or are you going to bow down and worship this little thing called money? Are you going to worship this job? Oh, they're going to offer me a big job, but God's told me to be here and go full-time ministry, but I don't know about that MPD stuff. And, you know, they offered me a job over here, you know, at Thomasville and gave me a little car, you know, a little. So I think I'm going to go there. You're about to get burned up. You're about to get swallowed by the idolatry of fame and fortune and power and pleasure. Why don't you do what God causes you to do and go through the fire when he burns away the stuff? And all of a sudden, the king looks up and says, well, we're going to hire you. You're going to be my secretary of state. Why? Because you serve the real God. Yeah. I want people to say, you people are crazy, but you serve the real God. And he shows up and God is your provision. And I want to be one of you. I want to be like that. I want to live in a realm where there is a deliverer, and he actually delivers, not just in a storybook for 2,000 years ago with the Israeli people, but he delivers people in 2023 in Tallahassee, Florida, because they trust him. They walk in his ways. They're serious. They're not playing games. They don't want just a little fire insurance so they can feel better about their sin. No, they want to walk free like Joel was talking about. I'm all in. I'm all in. And God will deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I'm still in. You can't persuade me otherwise. We need to be delivered. God wants to deliver you. Psalms 34, 1 through 5. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. David, here's David who was bellyaching, crying, and talking about his hardship. Here's what he says. He's a total 180 turn. He says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. He did what? He delivered me from all my fears. Notice he didn't say he delivered me from all my trials. He delivered me from the fiery furnace. He delivered me from this tough situation. No, he delivered me from the fear so I could trust him to go through the fiery furnace, go through the trial, get through the ordeal. And I will bless the Lord because he's my deliverer. I will trust him because when things look bad, when it looks dark outside, he can deliver, he can save, he can rescue. God wants to deliver us today. Some of you need to be delivered from difficult situations or difficult things you're going through. Some of you need to be delivered from fear and loneliness. Some of us, we need to be delivered from guilt and shame. Others, depression and loneliness. Whatever you're going through today, let me tell you something. There's grace here for you. You say, well, I'll do it back home, Pastor Ken, in my dorm, or I'll talk to Pastor Disaster, see what he said. No, no. You need to deal with it now. God's here. God's here. And Rachel, would you come and start playing softly? And I'm just going to give a simple altar call. If you need deliverance in any of these four areas we talked about, if you say, God, I'm tired of fighting this fight alone. I'm tired of being shackled. I'm tired of being in bondage to any of these four items we talked about here. I need your deliverance. I want you to come and just humble yourself and say, God, help me. Help me. Just come on up here. The altar's open. Ministry team, come on up. But if you need to be up here, I need deliverance. I need deliverance. I don't want to play church. I don't want to fake it and pretend I've got it all together. God, your grace is here. I'm going to humble myself. Yes, come on up. There's room for everyone. I need deliverance. I need deliverance. God's healing power, God's grace is here. He's able to set me free. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people, these precious people. I pray you by your Spirit would, you know everything that's going on in every heart. Lord, you are the great deliverer. You are the great rescuer. Lord, I pray right now for every individual that's here, whatever they're going through, that God, you would specifically minister to them that you would take away the fear, you take away the hurt, you take away the pain, you take away the loneliness, take away the despair. Anything that would cause them to stay in that quagmire, to stay locked up, to stay in that dungeon, that Lord, today would be a day of deliverance, that they're going to be free. Free to know you, God. Free to walk away from fear. Free to walk away from loneliness. Free to walk away from popular opinion and do what God tells them to do. So, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Just say this out of your mouth. Say, Jesus, I need you today. I need you to deliver me. I can't deliver myself. I can't save myself. Only you can do it. But, Lord, I thank you that you're capable. And you're willing, and I'm here as your son and daughter to receive your deliverance. I receive it now in Jesus' mighty name. And just say out of your mouth whatever it is, if it's fear and loneliness, if it's whatever the deliverance is, just say, Lord, I want to be free from fear and loneliness. I want to be free from fear of sudden danger. Whatever it is, just tell him right now. Just say, I want to be free from, and then you fill in the blank. God, I want to be free from, say it. Say it out loud. I want to be free from fear. I want to be free from sudden death. Fear of what's going to happen in the future. Father, we just thank you right now for what you're doing. We give you praise. We give you glory. And thank you, Lord. Those who the Son has set free are free indeed. Lord, I thank you and bless everyone who's up here. Now look at me if you would. What you know is those whom the Son has set free is free. Part of it is saying, God, I agree with your word and I agree with what your spirit is doing. If you need prayer, I want you to stay up here. If there's something more going on, we have pastors and counselors here. We can pray for you and help you. Some of you may need that. There's some demonic stuff that the enemy has put on you year after year. Sometimes it's like peeling an onion. We got to get that out. We got to flush those things out of your pipe, so to speak. So it may take a little bit, but that's okay. We're here for you. Some of you just need to come up here and say, God, deliver me, and I want to walk free. And if you'll do that by faith, God is going to set you free. The chains are going to come off. The shackles are going to come off. The oppression is going to leave. So, Father, we thank you for that. And we give you praise. We give you glory that you have delivered us, that you are the great I am, that you are the one who sets the captives free. And we give you praise and glory and thank you for your freedom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Can you put your hands together? Let's thank God. Come on, let's really thank God.